the great grace that is given to us in these days leading to the beginning of our Lenten journey is precisely because the Church is wise in recognizing the time that we will need in order to adequately prepare ourselves for what transpires during Lent. One simply cannot be in one time and then the very next day move into the Lenten season. There is time to prepare, to contemplate, and to think about not only that which I will offer, but also that which I will undertake in order to deepen my relationship with the Lord. And as I have been contemplating what it is that I will personally do in order to enrich my Lenten journey, I have found myself coming back again and again to what is at the heart of our Catholic life and at the heart of our relationship with our Lord, and that is an intimate face-to-face encounter with the Lord. I must truly come to know Him and allow the Lord to come to know me. And the only way that that can come about is through being in a disposition of constant and fervent prayer. This is how it always has been. The Lord came, He transformed lives face to face, one person at a time. And while we might want to see 5,000 or 10,000 converted, and certainly we pray for the conversion of our nation and our state and our community, we pray that again these pews themselves will be filled with fervent hearts. As long as there is one who seeks to practice his faith with fervent devotion, that indeed will be sufficient for the salvation of men. God has already saved us. His work is already complete. Therefore, what we are doing is cooperating with the work that the Lord has already accomplished. And He wants us to choose to do that for me, personally. Not just in a general sense that everyone is saved, but to believe that I am saved and then to live as one who is saved. To carve out time in my daily life, to spend time with Him in prayer. To surround myself with people and experiences that support my faith and lead me to holiness, and to shun those things, those realities that may pull me away from the practice of my faith and living well our life of truth. These are hard decisions to make, and sometimes things that were good over time maybe atrophy and need to be replaced with other things that are good. And these days leading to Ash Wednesday are precisely a time to contemplate that. If your prayer life is good, it can always be better. What it is that you might do to increase your fervor, your ardor for the Lord. Or if indeed your prayer life has been limping along, what needs to happen and be transformed in order that it can indeed be strengthened. But bear in mind, all of this is done not merely as a slavishness to the various rituals or prayers that you will undertake. It is done in order to deepen your relationship with the Lord. And He makes that clear in one sense in our gospel today from St. Luke. Of course, as He Himself unfolds the parable, He presents to us a variety of different ways that those who hear the word of God are not successful in living it out, whether it be the temptations of Satan, or the temptations of the world, or the allure and pleasures and riches of life itself. There are so many things that either don't root us at all, or if we have accepted the word, somehow pull us away from the word. But He ends by reminding us that which fell on good ground, those are the ones, through a right and a good heart, have heard the word, hold fast to it, and bear fruit in patience. He maps out for us very clearly what it is that needs to happen and how it needs to happen. What needs to happen is that we have to have right and good hearts. We develop right and good hearts by a life of fervent and constant prayer, by seeking to do the things of God and better discern His will and then live that will out in our daily lives. And then once we have tilled the soil of our souls and created a beautiful place for the Word of God to take root, we hold fast to it and we allow it to bear fruit in patience. The world in which we live is such a frenetic one. Oftentimes there is the expectation that in the spiritual life everything will happen immediately. But that's not how this unfolds. It takes patience. It takes time. For some, it is immediate, and they are clearly holy, and they are able to live out that life of holiness. But for a great many of us, it is a lifetime struggle to remain steadfast and constant with the Lord in order to allow that fruit to come to pass and to be patient in its unfolding. The exhortation of the words of St. Paul to the Corinthians after he himself has spoken about his own difficulty, his own struggles, his own sacrifices, that he glories in his infirmities because he realizes that when it is he is weak, in Christ he becomes strong. That's that beautiful connectedness between the mystery of suffering and sacrifice and the joy and the glory that comes from suffering and sacrifice. We preach Christ crucified precisely because there is no shame in the cross. There is no fear or doubt before the mystery of the cross, because we know the more we die with the Lord, the better able we are to live with him. And if I can express my weakness, my frailty, and place myself in the hands of God, it is then that I truly find the strength that I need. This message is not only countercultural. On one level, it seems to go against our own native instincts to take care of ourselves and to be the masters of our own destiny and to craft out a world where there is peace of our own making. But we always have to strive against that inclination and trust ourselves or entrust ourselves completely into the hands of God. And then it is in that way, through a patient suffering, through a joyful sacrifice, that I make of my heart right and good, that I then am able to hear his word and hold fast to it. And of course, we know that the word of God is not only that which we hear proclaimed in sacred scripture. It is the living word of God himself that we are about to receive. It is that word above all other words that we want to truly allow to come into our lives and to transform us. But that can only happen, brothers and sisters, if we cooperate with the grace of God in our daily lives. And so I will encourage you, as we continue to move closer to the beginning of this great retreat that the Lord gives us in our Lenten season, to think about what it is that you will do and be concrete in what it is that you will do in order that you might have real success in cooperating with God's grace. Don't be outlandish. Don't try to do things that you know you can't do and set yourself up for failure before you actually able begin. Instead, find ways to sacrifice and mortify that will truly allow fruit to be born in your life. Take on those spiritual disciplines that will draw you closer to the Lord, that will help your heart be strong and sure and steady, that will develop in you the patience that you need in order that the fruit of God and his living word may truly transform your soul. The Lord enjoins us, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Draw near now to the altar of sacrifice. Pay heed to what it is that the Lord is saying to you in prayer, and resolve with the living word of God that you are about to receive to hold fast to what it is that he says to you in order that your life truly may bear fruit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.